Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a BrakeLab BrakeRoll modulate formula in Ableton Live 12 using only stock devices, and the goal is to create a proper riser for jungle and old school DNB. So not just a generic sweep, not just white noise going up, but something that still feels like drum and bass. Something with groove, pressure, and that dusty breakbeat identity that makes the drop hit harder. Think of this as controlled chaos. We're taking a chopped break, turning it into motion, and then shaping that motion so it pulls the track forward into a drop, a switch up, or phrase change. This works beautifully before the first drop, between 8-bar sections, into a breakdown restart, or right before a bass variation. First thing, choose a break with character. Amen. Think, hot pants, anything with strong snare transients, ghost notes, and a bit of grit. The more personality the break already has, the better this technique tends to work. Drag it into Ableton. Turn warp on, and for the first pass, use beats mode. Keep the transient handling tight so the hits stay punchy. You want the break to feel alive, not smeared into mush. A good starting point is to preserve the attack, and keep the timing clean around the transients. If the break is a little messy, that's okay. In fact, a little imperfection can help. Old school jungle often sounds better when it feels sampled and human, not overly polished. Now, we need to turn that break into a playable source. You can slice it to a new MIDI track, or cut it manually if you prefer. For speed, slicing to MIDI is a great intermediate workflow. On the drum rack, keep only the slices that matter most for this kind of build. Usually that means a snare, a ghost snare, a hat, maybe a kick if it helps the groove, and one or two noisy tails. Don't overload the rack. We want clarity, and we want the modulation to do real work. At this stage, think in terms of tension vocabulary. The snare is your anchor. The hats add urgency. The ghost notes keep it breathing. The noisy tails help glue everything together. You are not just programming a pattern. You are creating a ramp. So let's write a 4-bar MIDI clip, and instead of looping the same idea, we're going to build a curve. Bar 1 should feel sparse and low-key. Bar 2 starts to wake up. Bar 3 gets more active. Bar 4 pushes into the final lift and then leaves space for the drop. A simple way to think about it is density over time. Start with wider spacing, maybe half bar or quarter note movement. Then tighten into eighth notes and 16th note bursts as you get closer to the end. That tightening of rhythm is a classic DNB tension move because the listener feels the energy accelerate, even if the tempo itself stays the same. You can also use velocity to shape that curve. Keep the first hit softer, bring the main snare accents forward, and let the final bar hit harder. Ghost notes should stay lower in velocity, so they suggest motion without crowding the main hits. If you're using simpler, keep the amp envelope tight. Fast attack, short release, and a controlled decay will help the roll articulate clearly. If the break starts feeling too long or washed out, shorten it. You want crispness. Now we get into the modulation part, and this is where the riser really comes alive. A very effective stock chain is auto filter, saturator, drum boss, and utility. Nice and simple, but extremely effective when you automate it with intention. Start with auto filter. For a classic build, use a low-pass filter and automate the cutoff opening over 4 or 8 bars. Begin dark, somewhere around 250 to 500 Hz, and gradually open it up toward the top end, maybe 8 to 12 kHz depending on the source. A little resonance can add bite, but don't overdo it. You want pressure, not a piercing whistle unless that's the exact vibe you're after. If you want a darker tunnel feel, try bandpass instead. That can make the break feel like it's moving through a narrow corridor, which is very effective for roller style tension. After the filter, add saturator. This is where the break starts to feel more urgent and forward. A few decibels of drive can bring the break closer to the listener without making it too harsh. Soft clip is useful here too, especially if the build is getting energetic. You can automate the drive so it stays restrained early on and gets harder in the final 2 bars. That contrast is important. If everything is heavy from the start, the riser loses its climb. Then add drum bus. Keep it moderate. A bit of drive, a touch of crunch, and maybe a small transient boost if you need the snare to cut more sharply. For a riser, you usually don't want a lot of boom unless you're deliberately building low-end pressure. Most of the time, it's better to keep the low end under control and let the upper mid attack carry the tension. Finish with utility. This is where you can automate width. Keep the early part narrower and more focused, then open it up slightly near the end. That widening effect can make the build feel like it expands right before impact. Just be careful not to make it too wide too early, especially if your drop has a strong sub. In DNB, the sub needs space to land cleanly. You can also clean things up with EQ8 if needed. High pass the riser layer if the kick energy is cluttering the drop. Cut unnecessary low end aggressively if you need to. A cutoff somewhere around 120 to 250 Hz is often enough for riser duty. The whole point is to make room for the drop, not compete with it. A very useful move is resampling. Once the MIDI break roll feels right, record it to a new audio track. This commits the groove and turns the build into a single piece of audio that you can shape further. Now you can reverse the last hit, add a tiny pause, or process the resampled phrase as one object. That makes the transition feel more designed and more professional. If you want even more life, add subtle modulation movement with stock tools. You can use Shaper for precise automation curves, or keep it simple with manually drawn automation. Light frequency shifter can add a bit of metallic tension if used very subtly. We're talking tiny amounts here, just enough to create movement, not a special effect that takes over the whole build. Another classic trick is a parallel grit lane. Duplicate the break roll, process the copy harder with saturator and drum bus, high pass it, and blend it quietly underneath the clean version. That gives you extra edge while preserving the main groove. It's a really nice way to make the build feel more expensive without losing the old school identity. Now, arrangement is where all of this either works or falls flat. A riser has to land somewhere. It has to serve the drop, the bass switch, the drum edit, or the phrase change. Don't build in isolation and assume it will work. Place it in the track and listen to how it behaves with the full arrangement. A good example would be 8 bars of intro groove, then a breakdown or reduced section, then your 4-bar break roll riser, and then the drop returns on the next phrase. The last bar should usually be the most important one. That's where the brightest tone, the densest rhythm, the widest image, or the most aggressive accent should happen. The final bar is the payoff. And here's a really important teacher note. If the roll feels stiff, don't instantly add more notes. First, try nudging a few hits off-grid, varying the note lengths, pushing velocity more aggressively, or reshaping the filter curve so it's not just a straight line. A little imperfection can make the whole thing feel sampled and alive, which is exactly what you want for jungle and old-school DNB. Let's talk about common mistakes for a second. One big one is making the build too loud too early. Save the energy for the end. Another is using only a simple rising filter with no rhythmic evolution. That can sound bland fast. The power here is in the break itself. Let the rhythm evolve. Let the density change. Let the snare and hat movement do the heavy lifting. Also, don't overprocess the break until the groove disappears. If the transients are gone, the build stops feeling like drum and bass. It becomes generic motion. Keep the low end under control. Avoid too much stereo width too soon, and always design the riser to connect directly to the drop. For a darker, heavier vibe, you can add a second break layer for grit. Keep it very quiet, and let it support the main roll. Or use echo with a very short delay time and low feedback, so the hits feel more connected without washing out the attack. A subtle reverb send can work too, as long as it's filtered and only used at the end. If you want to push the technique further, try a two-stage roll. Build the first 2 bars one way, then duplicate the idea and make the last 2 bars brighter, harder, and tighter. That creates a clear chapter change inside the riser. You can also experiment with a micro stutter ending in the final half bar, or reverse just the final hit for a stronger pull into the drop. So here's the core formula again. Start with a real breakbeat, chop it into a playable pattern, shape the density over time, automate filter and saturation movement, keep the low end under control, resample when it feels good, and place the whole thing so it lands cleanly on the next section. If you do it right, the riser won't just go up. It will feel like the drums themselves are evolving into the drop. That's the magic here. That's the jungle pressure. That's the old school DNB vibe. For practice, make 3 versions from the same break. 1 clean jungle lift, 1 darker tunnel build, and 1 heavier transition with a reverse accent or a tiny fake-out stop. Keep each 1 4-bars, use only stock Ableton devices, and test them against a full drum and bass arrangement at around 170 to 174 BPM. Listen for which one creates the strongest sense of motion, without muddying the mix. Alright, now it's your turn. Open up Ableton, grab a dusty break, and start sculpting that tension. Let the roll breathe, let it grow, and let it hit with intention.